Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication. And tonight, Dr. Pat Allen will be talking about archetypes. Dr. Pat.
Yes.
What can you tell us about archetypes?
Well, it's what split Carl Jung from Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud was a very good scientist, psychiatrist. But Carl Jung was a theoretical. He was the son of a minister, and he really liked Indian lore, and he really liked the Chinese lore of yin and yang. But what he became totally fascinated by was the collective unconscious, which he thought, and I can only use the term avatar, everything and everyone that has contributed to the collective unconscious has raised the standard of civilization for mankind, because that's what we do. We each have a personal unconscious, my experiences, my life, my dreams, but they have to fit together. So in reality, in the book He, She, and We by Robert Johnson, there are three books. He about men, she about women, and we about men and women getting together. He talks about the archetypes. Now, every philosopher and every psychiatrist and every Jungian and every Freudian has their opinions. I like simple archetypal work. So men have yang bodies, as I've said before, which are built to do, give, protect, cherish, or be nasty. But they have a collective unconscious which includes the archetypes for the soul of a man, which is called the anima. A man's feminine is his soul, and a woman's masculine is her soul, the animus. So I'm going to go through the male archetypes first. Now, these archetypes are universal with all human beings in every culture. It may be that each theorist and each philosopher extrapolates multiple, like in India, they have archetypes up the wall. You know, they have multiple gods. And we in the West, and especially the ones that I admire, with Robert Johnson, we have four male major archetypes.
Okay.
One of those archetypes I call a monk. Now, a monk is a man who basically does not really get turned on by money or sex, which are two of three stimulants. Money, sex, and mind-altering chemicals are usually a man's archetypal promoter.
Right.
So the archetype of the monk is probably a very spiritual human being who basically lives in his head and doesn't really, he's probably stoic, and he probably doesn't really care about money, power, and prestige, you see,
right,
or sex. So what does he care about?
What turns him on?
He cares about goodness. He cares about the spiritual elements of love. And that's wonderful. You know, there's one archetype called the Black Madonna.
Okay.
Or the Madonna in Spiritus. And Irene Castillejo has a wonderful book about that, the cult. Well, no, hers isn't the Cult of the Black Virgins, but she does talk about these archetypes. So The monk archetype is not really of the planet. He's not very hedonistic. He's into the spiritual elements of love and integrity and goodness. And women who date monks, they're great arm pieces to go to a party with because they don't do anything bad. But you generally have to dress them because they don't really care about what they wear.
Okay, so in other words, they might be disheveled if you wanted to put them on your arm.
Well, not only that, but if you think of Hare Krishnas,
right.
You think of, or you think of priests or monks, what do? Notoriously, they wear habits.
Right.
They wear clothes that look the same and are the same every day of every whatever. So that's our lovely spiritual. Love mankind, love one another, love God. And those are the people who basically can carry the Black Madonna. It is universal that women usually do because we have a tendency to be nuns.
Right.
And whoever carries the most spiritual energy, which is the power to say no, that's immoral, unethical, and illegal. Whoever carries that energy can carry the archetype of the Black Madonna. And there is a wonderful book about that archetype, and it's called The Cult of the Black Virgins by Ian, E-A-N, Begg, B-E-G-G, published in England. So I'm Catholic, so I can gossip a little bit about the Catholic Church. The some priests don't particularly like the Black Madonna, and they may put her in the basement because she's the one that says, if you don't do that or God's going to punish you. You know, every Italian movie has one of those ladies, the Black Madonna in the movie, threatening on behalf of God, if you don't shape up, something bad's going to happen to you.
Okay.
But there are men that are very feminine. They're into physical feelings and feminine and love, and they will be the ones that say, don't do that. Do you see? The
right,
moralist.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got that, the monk. Then we get Peter Pan, our wonderful little Peter Pan. Peter Pan is very much into money and very much into sex, but he's not into working for it.
Right.
He will find somebody, male or female, straight or gay, who will in fact make his life work on this planet.
So, like a sugar mama or sugar daddy?
Sugar mama, sugar daddy, that's right. That is exactly right. So Peter Pan... I know there are women out there listening that have had a Peter Pan, and he was a very fun person to be with for a little while until you expected him to do it, whether it was money or sex or service or chores or whatever you expected him to do. He didn't like that.
So in other words, when we hear some of these women say, I thought he would step up to the plate.
No, he has no interest in stepping up to the plate. He has the interest of stepping up to the trough where your money, power, and prestige reside and have you take care of him.
Do these Peter Pans ever grow up, or do they just remain in Neverland?
If they happen to get chemically involved with a real self-centered anchor woman, she can raise them. It's called the Fisher King wound. And you can read that in He by Robert Johnson. The Fisher King wound is when a man is pushed away by his loving woman, and it's supposed to be his mother, around the age of 10. Girls grow up by about the age of 8. Boys takes a couple more years. So when mom says, do your own laundry, you know, or go get a job, or I'm going to the gym, fix your own lunch. So when a boy gets to the place where he must make decisions and take care of himself. That may be the time that he will start looking for sugar mamas. And if he finds you, he will be very fun for a while. But the problem is the burden of taking care of him will often make a woman who's not really a Wendy, which we'll talk about in a minute, and she doesn't want to mother a Peter Pan. So the archetype of the Peter Pan is playful, you see, mm-hmm. and it is Peter Pan. And then there's the sugar daddy.
Right.
Now, the sugar daddy is a man who believes he's not deserving of love. He either thinks he's ugly or boring or something, that he has to buy love.
Okay.
So what he will do, and it won't be just a prostitute, $50, $100. It will be an apartment. It'll be a house. It'll be a car. It'll be an education. He will actively be a daddy, a sugar daddy.
Okay. So essentially what he is he's trading favors for favors.
Yes, he is. He's okay. trading money for basically sex and companionship.
Okay.
So that's a sugar daddy. And then there is the fourth man, which I've already referred to, and that's a real man. And a real man, by the time he's 10 years old, should receive the push away from his mother or his whoever's raising him. And they say to him, you know what? I'm not on earth to make your life work forever at my expense. So please get a job, do your chores, be a man.
Okay, so at 10 years old, so it's sort of like pushing them out of the nest and helping them to stand up and be a man.
You're right. And now Dan Siegel has written a book, and it's called Brainstorms. And it's about a new scientific fact that he came across. Teenagers, which is 13 to 18,
right.
do not produce enough dopamine to be happy at home. So they go outside and jump on their hot little Harley. I raised four daughters on five horses at that age.
So it's boys and girls.
It's boys and girls. It's teenagers who nature wants out of the nest.
So that's what they. What happens is that biochemically,
their brain wants to get out of the house. And when they get to be 25 to 27 approximately, they quiet down and all of a sudden become decent members of the family. But that teenage year period, Dan Siegel, Brainstorms, brand new book.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah,
so
sounds
they come
excellent.
Back. They come back to the fold, essentially.
They very easily do, unless they've gone to jail or died, or on a motorcycle. I hate that when I hear that.
Yeah.
When you see them driving down the street like maniacs, they're producing dopamine. That's what they're doing.
So okay? they're looking for something.
They are looking for a rev up. Remember, their personal unconscious is taking care of business today, but their collective unconscious is there feeding them, and this feeding at this time, this is a new piece of data,
right.
that they don't have enough dopamine, so they do wild and crazy things.
So you were talking about the Fisher King wound.
The Fisher King wound is when the woman that the boy loves, and it may be his mother, it is often as he gets, a girlfriend, the girl says, I don't like you. You can't pay for our movie.
Right.
You can't do things. Where's your money?
Right.
You
right.
see?
Do you think that in those teenage years, is that why it seems that sometimes girls are picking guys that are a little bit older than them?
Very much so. Very much so.
Because you were saying girls develop that
they're a couple years
eight.
Ahead. Yeah, they're becoming closer to women by eight, while boys are still fairly boyish by 10.
Right, and you've heard you say before, not to coddle any man.
No,
over 10.
I don't want, you know, I promise on my honor not to give, protect, or cherish an able-bodied human being over the age of 10, especially men, with my money and my sex, unless I get what I want and need first.
All right. Hey, we have a caller. Dr. Pat, you want to take a call now?
Sure.
All right. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi, I know you, and I've been to your office. I'm so glad to speak with you. This is Wendy.
Oh, okay. Wendy for real or Wendy archetype?
Are we metaphorically Wendy or are we real Wendy?
No, this is my real name, and I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
So I just had a couple of questions.
What are they?
Okay, so there's one guy that I've been going out with. He is 12 years younger than me, and my concern is he all of a sudden wants me to start paying for half of our dates, and I just feel a little bit mortified.
I've got news for you. You have got a darling Peter Pan, and he wants you to become a loving, generous Wendy. Is that a goal you have for yourself?
No, it's really important for me to know the man is generous.
I appreciate that. That is what a man is. But a Peter Pan is not that. He's not generous. Playful, but he's not generous. So your message to him is, I really, really think you're darling and wonderful, but I want to be the girl, and I'm willing to appreciate you, and sometime I might share with you if I feel cherished, protected, and you're giving to me. Because girls bond and fall in love when they receive, whereas boys don't bond when they receive. They just simply nurse off of whoever they're with until that person either stops or they trade you in.
So you're going
to have to cause a bit of pain here.
Yes, I'm ready. I just, when the bill comes, he's going to say, oh, you know, you want to get this one, and I'll get the next one.
Well, if you have a convenient relationship, it may be that you're just friends with perks or without. Friends are very equal. Working partners are very equal. But if you want a covenant relationship in which he brings more money and you bring more pleasure.
Yes.
Well, that's a covenant relationship.
And I'm also struggling to get to that point because, you know, we have amazing chemistry.
Good.
Yeah, when I said I don't feel comfortable doing X, Y, and Z until I'm engaged. Well, actually, I didn't tell him that. I tell other guys that, but I told him until I'm in a committed relationship.
Okay, an oral agreement?
Yes. And he said, oh, well, I want to be in a relationship too. But the problem is the conversation never finished because we had been drinking and it was the heat of the moment and it was very difficult to have that conversation.
Did you have intercourse with him?
No, no, no.
Okay, so you didn't go that far.
You just
were on thin ice, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay. So what style of woman do you want to be? I'm going to describe. There's the nun. There's a nun. That's an archetype where the woman gives up her rights to want pleasure. And nun in this way is spelled N-O-N-E. She doesn't have a boyfriend. She doesn't really have a good life, entertainment-wise, because she's taking care of everybody else, which may be a nice thing, but it's not particularly feminine. So a nun is a woman that takes care of everybody else better than herself. Then there's Wendy. Who does a nun go with? She goes with the monk. They have lunch together at Mother's. That's their form of sex. Lunch. Oral sex. But they don't have sex. Then There's another woman called Wendy, and she loves Peter Pan. Apparently, you're attracted to Peter Pans. Is that true?
Generally, no.
Oh, what was good about this one?
He's so cute.
Yeah, they're so cute.
Generally, I choose with my ears, and I generally want to be very feminine and cherished, and that's why I'm struggling that he's not being generous.
I appreciate that. So are you going to set up a boundary for that? Like, I will give 2 to 1. You give me 2, I'll give you 1 back.
That sounds good.
In a committed relationship, that would be like he calls you twice and then you call him once. Or he takes you out and buys lunch and then you buy popcorn at the movies. In other words, you don't equally give like dollar for dollar, because that's friendship, but it's not romance. Friendship and working together can be very, very equal and be just fine and convenient. But if you're romantic, then generally it's better if one person is the giver and the other person gives back, but not equally. You see? So that's, you're a recovering Wendy. Then there's a claw woman. Now, the claw woman steals men from other women by giving him free sex, flirting. I'll wager there are women listening to this program that have had a man stolen by a fast lay claw woman whose archetypal message is, I want you to buy my love, and I will entertain you sexually. It's bigger than a prostitute, because it's a lifestyle. And some of these people, Wendy and Peter Pan, are not Wendy, but Sugar Daddy and his gold digger, Mary, and you look at them and you listen to them and you wonder why he puts up with that very mean lady. And the truth of the matter is, he is so thrilled to have bought her body that he'll put up with just about anything. So that's the sugar daddy. Then there's a real man, and a real man wants to give, protect, and cherish. He's learned that Fisher King wound wherein his little boyness is taken off of his body and back so that his armor can show. And if you want to, you read, there's a wonderful movie called The Fisher King with, God rest his soul, Robin Williams and Jeff Bridges. And it's about two men that lost their women. Robin Williams lost his woman in a restaurant in a robbery where she was shot. Jeff Bridges was kind of a spoiled brat radio talk show host, and an old man called the station and said, I hate my life. I want to kill myself. And Jeff Bridges, as he was acting in the, I don't know what his character's name was, but it was Jeff Bridges. Anyway, he said, who will care if you go? So the old man did kill himself, and Jeff lost his job. So both Robin Williams and Jeff Bridges ended up on the street, in blankets, homeless. And they had to learn the lesson that if you don't give, protect, and cherish women, they won't play with you. They won't marry you. They won't live with you. And so the last scene in the movie is the two of them laying bare naked in Central Park under the moon because they had learned how to attract women back into their lives. And the moon is feminine. The sun is masculine. So it was a metaphorical message about what men have to do in order to be respected by women, which is giving, protecting, and cherishing. So a real man does that, and a real woman says, I feel cherished by this person. The more you cherish a woman, the more she feels respected. The more you respect a man for what he does, the more he feels cherished.
Wow, I just love all this. Thank you.
Good.
So I had one other question, if you're
okay,
willing.
Okay, it's fine.
There's one other man that I want to ask you about, and I feel that he's putting me down in a playful, flirtatious way.
No, he's testing you for abusability, dear. If you kick a dog and it stays your dog, it puts up with that pain. So when men start to tease you at the beginning of your relationship, they're starting to check you out for abusable. So what are you going to say to that?
You have every right to do that, but it doesn't feel good.
And if you keep it up, I'm not going to date you anymore. There's got to be a price tag.
And then he's going to say, what's the big deal? Why are you so testy? I was just playing and having fun.
I got news for you. Do it with your boyfriends. I'm a girl. I've got a larger corpus callosum that mixes my feelings and my thoughts. And when my feelings are hurt, I don't want to play with you.
Okay. I feel that I need to be brave to say this, but...
No, you've got to be self-loving. Brave is a male sport. Self-loving is, I'm not going to put up with this. I am worthy of good cherishing. And if he does that, he will earn my respect.
Okay, now I know how to handle the situation. Thank you so much, Dr.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Wendy.
I'm a big fan. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Dr. Ellen, we have another call. This one. All right, caller, you've been trying a lot to get through. I'm sorry. We can only take one call at a time. So anybody who's trying to call in, please keep calling Dr. Allen. Okay, caller, you're on.
Welcome. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm fine. Can you tell I'm fine? I like what I'm doing.
I love this new show. It's fantastic.
Oh, good.
I'm telling everyone about it and sending emails to everyone about it. It's fantastic.
Great.
But I had a couple of questions, more clarification about the 8-week rumination and then the andropause. But the 8 weeks, I know you have to wait the 8 weeks, but what goes on with a man during this time? Like,
okay.
What's happening with him?
Now, when a man commits, he is taking on responsibility for your care, feeding, protection. And so marriage is not really a man's game. A man has to be very mature to want to take on the responsibility of a woman and the babies he gives her or the baby she's already got. And so for that reason, when a man dates a woman, he will very often what I call bait and switch her. Bait and switch is a business term where you offer a good deal up front at the beginning, and then you drop back and wait to see what the effect is on the buyer. So if a man takes you out, and I recommend 3 dates, because the first date you may often act weird, like... When you're do you ever notice when you're attracted to somebody how strange you act? And yet when you don't care about somebody, no chemistry, you're cool, man.
Yeah.
So, well, that's why I have people duty dating so they can practice dating to wear down that anxiety. So when you date a man and you have a couple, 2-3 good dates, and then you don't hear from him, that's a very common symptom of a bait and switch. He's baited the hook, titillated you, tantalized you, and I please God, hopefully, you didn't give him intercourse because that can bond you to him if you're premenopausal. And then you really suffer from detox, from oxytocin. So with that in mind, if you've just dated him and... he wants to test you, he will drop out of your life. And the dropout time is not a Pat Allen contrivance. I first read about it in Maxwell Maltz's book, Psycho-Cybernetics, about how the nervous system operates. And there I found and I've heard, and every time I go to CEU classes that I need for my licensing, I always go to some brain people, brain psychiatrists. Apparently, the human being, the animal human being, has to feel, think to make a decision about whether to call back or whether not to. So what men and women are doing, but particularly men, is they're deciding whether you are somebody they want to just play with sexually or whether they want to build something with you. So that's why I tell women, when you have a man in your life and he's doing a bait and switch, please don't call him. Please give him 8 solid weeks to call you back. And if he doesn't call you back in the 8 weeks, there's a strong possibility that he does not want the responsibility for your care and feeding or building a relationship. But don't be surprised if a year later he comes back because he gets tired of just dating, just to get laid and to have a few laughs. So very, very often people that went together come back together when they realize how valuable building is.
Hello?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. No, we got disconnected and I called back at the perfect time.
Right.
Okay. So did you get the message of bait and switch?
I did. It just, this is someone I've known for like 9 years.
And you're still playing bait and switch with him?
No. We've been friends. He lives 6,000 miles away.
Were you ever lovers?
And now we're kind of like, since November, it's been like heavy flirting online.
Wait a minute. Have you ever been lovers?
No.
All right. You've never had intercourse. So this is the first time you're converting the friendship into a romance.
Yes.
Are you being the pursuer? Are you the sperm or the egg?
I am the egg.
And is he being a good sperm, giving, protecting, and cherishing you?
Yes. He went out of his way for me at Christmas, and all I did was just show appreciation. I didn't try to give back.
Okay. Well,
but now, like, we're flirting, and he's kind of like, if our paths cross again, and I can't believe we're making sparks like this, thousands of miles away, and, if our paths ever cross, bring it on, and I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And so I kind of just said, oh, that sounds good. I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And then,
I think one of the phrases...
I haven't heard from him now. It's been 6 weeks, but I caught him on Facebook rereading my emails twice. There's a way to check on Facebook
yes,
if someone's read
right.
your email again. So.
So what I'm listening to is he's titillating you into offering to come out and visit him.
Yeah, he didn't come out and ask me, though, so I thought I would wait for him to ask me.
I fully appreciate that, and you know what you're doing. You're basically finding out if he wants to be a man or whether he's a boy that wants you to be his mother.
Right. He is an artist, but he is right-handed. So
okay.
I don't know if that makes a difference. But,
no.
Yeah, he's
he
very
may
masculine
be...
in his communication.
He asks for what he wants? That's masculine in communication. Does he ask for what he wants?
We've lost the car.
Oh, we lost her again.
We lost her, yeah. All right. So we have another caller. Let's grab that one. Maybe she'll call back.
Okay.
Okay, caller, go ahead. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hi there.
Hi. What can I do for you?
Oh, wow. It happens before. Okay. Hi, my name's Nicole. How are you?
I'm fine.
So I have 2 questions. One is I'm been involved with a man now for 2 years, and it's hard for me to balance. I don't know how to balance the way that he wants to be more available to him, be a part of his family, spend more time with him. And it's like...
Are you engaged to him?
I am not.
Well, what's your job then? I'm hearing you're a free wife.
Well, that's what I meant. Like, I still work. And so it's like, I don't know how to balance the being, like him wanting me to be there for him. But for today, I still take care of my own finances. And I need to keep that in good shape. But he always wants more of me. And he also wants to live there. But I don't want to live in the house.
Live with you?
He would like me to live with him.
I appreciate that. And when will you get your engagement ring with your wedding date?
Yeah.
Do you want to be married or do you want to just be a live-in girlfriend?
Yeah, I want to be married. And we talk about being married.
And what does he say?
He says he can't wait to marry me. And I'm actually the one that has a little bit of the dragging feet on it.
Oh, you're not wanting to marry him?
I'm not sure.
Because?
He has two kids and a pretty hectic life. And I found out that he has a little bit of debt. And I'm not sure how comfortable I feel in his judgment and financial.
I got it. How long have you dated him?
2 years.
2 years. And may I ask how old you are?
Sure. I'm 45 and he is 51.
Now, have you been married? Do you have your kids?
No, I've not been married. I don't have kids.
And do you want to be married and do you want to have kids?
I do want to be married. I do not want to have kids.
All right.
Okay. I'm okay to be a stepmom. I'm okay
you
to
are.
Adopt. But
okay.
I don't really want kids, no.
So what I'm hearing is, do you want a solid prenuptial agreement that limits his financial burden on you so that you don't fear his indebtedness, but you have the benefit of being married? Do you want to see a lawyer about that?
I guess so, but it kind of plays into, you know, some stuff that about like the respect thing, you know?
I got it. So you don't respect him as much as you want?
I don't respect him as much as I'd like to, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's a good man, a good dad, loving, cherishing, but like, you know, I feel this hesitancy like in my stomach sometimes.
Well, there's more neurotransmitters in the stomach than the brain. So follow your feelings and your gut. What's wrong with being a permanent girlfriend since you don't want kids?
I would really like to be married.
You
want to
live with him?
Pardon?
You want to live with him.
I'm not sure if I want to marry him. I know he wants to marry me.
All right. So when do you plan on looking for the man you want to marry?
I keep challenging myself with these different things that I don't know. It's like he's really great. He's really loving and all this stuff. So I keep thinking like...
Yes, but I don't hear the financial...
Women marry for
status and financial security. That's what Harvard found out. So you want stature. You want to be married. And you want him to be sufficiently productive to be able to pay for at least he and his own kids. Right?
Yes. And he does do that, yes.
All right. So what is holding you up from joining his family?
Yeah, he asked me the same thing.
Well, I want to know an answer.
I'm sorry?
I want to know an answer.
Yeah, I guess I feel anxious about the way he does stuff, and I'm not sure that I believe in him. And sometimes that just makes me feel afraid, and I have almost like a take-it-or-leave-it attitude about time together with him.
Okay, so it sounds like you're willing to be a permanent girlfriend. So be one. Enjoy it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very good.
Well, then when are you going to go look for your husband?
Yeah.
How long does this man have to keep you out of the market?
I don't understand.
When do you want to pull the plug on this situation?
Well, you know, I talk with people who I trust. I don't know. I guess I was going to give it maybe like another 3 months or so.
Okay. So what you're saying, this is March, April, May. So you may be a June divorcee. See, you're mated to him right now. You're married to him on a jungle level right now.
It's true.
You know, you like his body and your body wants to be near his body. And because of that, you have to go through the pain of a divorce when you leave him. Mm-hmm. So you're not willing to marry him and you're not willing to leave him. So basically, at what you're 45 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Your choices are going to deteriorate very seriously in about 5 years. Mm-hmm. So at that time, if you're with a man your age, 40, 45, 50, he's becoming distinctly a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's getting in touch with his feelings. And you will become more and more intellectually defensive about what you disrespect. So I'm afraid that, you know, no statement is a statement. And this is your life that's running through your fingers like sand.
Oh, I have a question for the caller.
What's that?
Yeah.
Oh,
please.
For the caller.
What's going to change in 3 months? Is he going to be financially solvent in 3 months? Are you going to feel like what's going to change in 3 months that's not happening now?
I'm really like leaning all the way in and trying to spend more time with the family stuff and see if, like, you know, maybe there's some unexpected gems on the other side, you know.
How's it going today? Are you seeing any gems?
Well, sometimes it is nice, you know, the family time.
Okay.
You know, with him, it's just, you know, he's a package deal, right?
Yes, he surely is.
He's a package deal, so.
Well, just remember, a good prenup is solid in California. Are you in California?
I am in California. One thing that confused me, though, this is just kind of something that you know, talk about with my girlfriends. You talk about like the 51% or better,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
And so I would say that this man, in all honesty, is like in this like maybe 65 to 70 percentile, right?
Except that what's a deficit is important to you. Did you come from a poor family?
I came from a modest family. Both my parents are immigrants, yeah.
Okay, so basically you have the American dream of flush. You want the American dream.
Financial stability.
Yeah, financial stability and the pleasure of security.
Yeah, somebody who's good with the books, you know. He makes plenty of money, he's just terrible with the books.
What if you took over the books?
That could work, too, if that was okay with him.
How about you ask him?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be negotiating the contract, Dr. Allen?
Yes. Time, space, money, and play.
Is that okay to bring up something like that?
You betcha.
Before I have a ring on my finger?
Yes, dear, because that's the pre-engagement counseling necessary to get the ring on your finger.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion is, hon, I want to talk to you about a serious element in our relationship, money. Mm-hmm. So when would it be convenient? Now? Yes. Mm-hmm. You have every right to run your money your way. But you talk about marrying me, but I'm not comfortable with the way you run your money. So what do you think about getting engaged and letting me run the money as if we're practicing a trial marriage? For at least a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Remember to ask him what he thinks.
Yeah. Well,
do you want to make that effort?
I'm sorry?
Do you want to make that effort? Is he worth that effort?
I feel like he is, and I feel like...
Wait a minute. No, I feel like he is not true. There is no feeling called like. I think he is... I don't think he is.
Okay, I tried a version of that earlier, and his ex kind of cleaned him out. And so it's kind of a sensitive topic. And, you know, I'm no, like, I don't own any kind of empire. I'm no, like, MBA myself, but I am really organized and good with that stuff.
Understand. Then yeah. Why don't you tell him either I run your money or we split up?
Or we could find a third party to run it who makes sense or something.
That's great. Get a good CPA. That would be awesome.
Yeah, because it's just that, you know, I see things falling through the cracks, and you, it just makes me feel really nervous.
I know
it's
that.
Like,
so
what are you doing?
How about you bring it to a crisis ASAP?
Okay. Say that again, please.
Have him bring it to a crisis, or better still, get him on the phone with you and I, and we'll get it into crisis.
Okay.
Either you do it, or we'll do it.
Okay.
Because
so, right,
Dr. Allen,
ask for an appointment. Say this is really, because this is really the main thing, right?
Yes, I know. I hear it.
If I felt safe and secure in his, like, fiscal sense,
yes,
I would really, I'd be like, okay, I think I feel like I can do this, but because that's so shaky, I feel shaky.
Then would you be so kind as to let the poor man in on how he can get you into his family?
Mm-hmm.
Will you do that?
Yes, I will. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
All righty. Okay, so ask for appointment and...
tell him you love him.
Yeah.
And tell him you feel insecure, and would he be willing to turn the money running over to somebody, a CPA, that you and he both respect, then you would consider marrying him.
Mm-hmm.
With a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Allen.
Good.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Surely. Bye-bye.
We have two more calls. Oh, you know what we have, Dr. Allen? We have our one caller we dropped. Let's pick her up.
All right.
Hi, caller that we dropped. Welcome back.
Hi. Yes.
Hi. You were going to talk about andropause.
Yes. Well, we didn't finish the me waiting for the guy. So I'm just waiting for him to make the move and ask me to go see him, right?
Yes.
And if he doesn't, then I know he's in his feminine, I guess.
No, he's... he's feminine, but he doesn't want you if he lets you stay away 8 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm in week 6, so I'm sweating it
all
now.
All right. These next 2 weeks are the hard ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me about it. So he is 54.
And therefore, he's peri-andropause or in andropause.
Okay.
Whereupon his testosterone is going down and the estrogen in his body is allowing him to be super sensitive.
Okay.
So that's a nice thing.
And do I change my communication when guys are,
well,
you know,
when they're that?
Or?
Here's what I do. I have a wonderful DVD set that I made, The Over 50 Relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, here's what I say. When you get to, how old are you?
I'm 50.
So you're both in the same category.
I'm pretty feminine, though. My estrogen is
I fully understand that. But the truth is, it's the way your brain works.
Right.
So
okay.
At your age, you're going to start wanting it your way because you're going to be more male. And he's going to start being sensitive about being disrespected or whatever. So whoever starts a feeling statement asks the other person what they think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever starts a feelings statement asks the other person what they think about it. You remember,
okay.
It used to be the men were men and the women were women. Well, that
mm-hmm.
changes with andropause and menopause chemically.
Okay.
And so at that time, it's whoever is the feminine speaks feminine to the masculine in the other, and whoever is masculine when they speak goes for the feminine. So you go complimentary, but either one of you can say what you think and feel.
Okay. Yeah, he's very much the think guy. He's not feeling guy at all.
Well, then why isn't he calling you?
I don't know.
Well, there's a feeling back there.
Maybe he thinks, he seems like he likes me a lot. Maybe he thinks I wouldn't move there to where he is. I'd definitely go and move 6,000 miles away to be with him.
Then please feel free to make an appointment with him and discuss these things.
Okay.
All right?
And let him know. Yeah, because the distance is so big.
And you might want to take a look at Dr. Allen's DVD set, which is Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication in Relationships.
Okay.
That's a DVD, and you can find that at www.drpatallen.com or at our store, www.wantistore.com.
Great.
Thank
okay.
you, caller.
Great. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
Good luck.
We'll see you on Monday.
Good.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, Dr. Allen, we are out of time.
So we couldn't get our last little person?
We couldn't. We can't get our last person because we're right at the end of our
deal. Okay. Well, it was fun.
It was fun. Just one more thing, Dr. Allen. You have another DVD set out that is really fantastic, and it's talking about business, watch your mouth. But I think it's pertinent with these relationships.
Very
with
good.
The lady that was talking about the financial thing.
Yes, I know. Money and sex are the two big problems. When you've got money problems, you will have sex problems. When you have sex problems, you will have money problems.
Yeah, I know.
So
true.
I want to time off with the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments, the contracts you're willing to make and keep.
Visit us on Facebook. Find us at www.drpatallen.com.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.